I will read 30th verse from the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Karma Yoga. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma cetasaha nirashihi nirmama bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma cetasaha nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma cetasaha nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha mayi unto me sarvani all sorts of karmani activities sanyasya giving up completely adhyatma with full knowledge of the self cetasa by consciousness nirashihi without desire for profit nirmamaha without sense of ownership bhutva so being yudhyasva fight vigata jvaraha without being lethargic translation therefore O Arjuna surrendering all your works unto me with full knowledge of me without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order. Arjuna didn't have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order. The Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called Adhyatma Chetas. Nirashihi means that one has to act on the order of the master but should not expect fruitive results. The cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual person, but that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of Mayi, or unto me. And when one acts in such Krishna consciousness, certainly he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called nirmama, or nothing is mine. And if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kinsmen on the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. In this way, one may become vigatajvara, or without feverish mentality or lethargy. Everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular type of work to discharge. And all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki mayi sarvāni karmani sanyasya dhyātma cetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutvā yudhyasvā vigata jvarahā. Therefore, Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claim to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatte Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Janulambita bhujau kanaka vadato sankirtanai kapitaro kamalai daksha vishambaro dvijavaro yugadharma kumbhalo vande jagat priyakaro karma avatar. Yesterday in Salvete we were speaking about the relationship between our own endeavor and surrendering to the will of the Lord. And I kind of decided to continue this topic by taking this verse, because as Prabhupada says in the beginning of this purport, this verse indicates the very purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Because in this verse, basically, Sri Krishna explains what it means to surrender. We often hear this. Krishna says this very boldly. Surrender unto me. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam saranam braja. Aham tvam sarva patibhyo. I will take care of you. Don't worry about anything. Surrender unto me. And he also says, Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mamevaya prapadyante mayametam tarantitya. That someone can overcome this influence, material influence, which we are in, only if one surrenders. We are basically in this ocean of material energy. And it's a huge ocean. And how we are going to cross it over? It's very difficult. We are just little tiny specks, little tiny sparks of spiritual energy drowning in this ocean of material energy. And we are supposed to cross it over. Sometimes Prabhupada, he gave this beautiful example. He said that people are trying to cross over the ocean by swimming. But no matter how good swimmer you are, will you be able to swim? To cross it over. No. Sooner or later you will drown. And he also says that sometimes people trying to surrender to somebody else, and he says to surrender to somebody else, it's as if, you know, you're drowning in the ocean and there is a dog trying to swim nearby. And you think, this is a good idea, let me catch the tail of this dog. Maybe this dog will help me to cross the ocean. The dog will not help. Nobody else will help. Basically, we have to know that we have to depend on Krishna solely and wholly, as Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport. We have to depend on Him. But here he explains what it means to depend on Him. Because it's not an easy thing. Here he basically explains the essence or the meaning the internal meaning of surrender, what it means, how we should check whether I am surrendered or not. So he says in the beginning of this verse, basically he is answering here the question of Arjuna. Arjuna asked him in the beginning of the third chapter, tell me definitely what is good for me, fight or not fight. Enough of this, you know, complicated things, you know, Nirvana, Brahma Nirvana, Richhati, this and that. You know, Arjuna is not impressed. Because Krishna in the second chapter explained to him so many other things, but Arjuna is not impressed. He says, I'm a simple man, I'm a Kshatriya. I'm not a philosopher. I'm not, you know, tell me what I should do. And ultimately Krishna says, this is one of the most straightforward verses in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. He says very straightforwardly what we are expected to do. So straightforwardly that even Prabhupada, as you may notice in the purport, feels little uneasy. Prabhupada kind of apologized for Krishna. He says, maybe it's not so easy to do what Krishna says here, because Krishna is taking a role of military commander. He's really heavy here. Sometimes he is very mild and he is, you know, trying to pacify Arjuna. But in this particular verse, he is not, you know, playing around. He is saying the plain, straightforward truth. He is saying, "Mai sarvani karmani sannyasi adhyatma chetasa nirasir nirmamo budva yudhyasva vigata jvara." He says, just forget all this nonsense. "Mai sarvani karmani sannyasi adhyatma chetasa." You have to surrender all your works to me. You have to offer whatever you do to me. And how you should offer adhyatma chetasaha. This is perhaps the most important word in this verse. He says, you have to work for me. And I mean, this is not a small thing. You know, it's Krishna consciousness is not a game. It's a serious thing. Krishna say, you know, you work for me. It's a big thing to demand. He says, you work, but don't claim proprietorship, don't claim the results of your work. Give it up, everything to me. You know, that's just, I mean, who will do it? Tell me, who will really do it? You know, you work and work and work and work hard, and then some big guy up there says, you know, give it to me. It belongs to me. So, therefore he says, adhyatma chetasa, which is, as I said, is the most important word in this verse. Adhyatma chetasa means adhyatma chetasa, with the spiritual consciousness, or with consciousness of who you are. Basically what Krishna says here, that it's not that he is trying to push us to do something blindly. Just surrender unto me, you know, I'm a big guy. No, what he wants to say is that you have to have the complete, total, clear understanding that we already belong to him. Adhyatma chetasa, adhyatma. Atma means soul. Atma means I. Prabhupada translates this adhyatma as with this consciousness of self. Who am I? And adhi means above I. Adhyatma chetasa means with the consciousness, chetasa means consciousness, with the consciousness of somebody who is above, who is beyond ourself. That there is God and that we belong to him. Basically what he says, the first thing which you have to understand is that you already belong to Krishna. That you already his part. And because you belong to him, there is nothing else for you to do but to do what he wants you to do. This is what Prabhupada explains in the purport. He says, this is adhyatma chetasa. Adhyatma chetasa means not that you speculate. Not that you think, you know, what should I do, whether I should or not shouldn't do. No, he says, you have no choice. Because this is already your constitutional position. This is your nature. You cannot change it. No matter how much you speculate, no matter how much you don't like it, no matter how much you rebel against it, you know, you may do so many crazy things. But you already part of the Lord, and you belong to Him. And Adhyatma Chetasa basically means, this consciousness that you belong to Him, like a cow. Cow is very much liked by Krishna, and one of the reasons why cows are so nicely taken care by Krishna is that because they are very surrendered souls. You know, cows, they, you know, any other animal, you sell this animal to somebody else, and the animal is still trying to, you know, to go to his previous owner or whatever. But if you sell a cow, what will cow do? Will the cow try to run away? No. The cow immediately surrenders. Cow knows he's my master from now on. And cow takes completely this sense that I belong to him. This is one of the characteristics of the consciousness of the cow. And if we want to become cows in the spiritual world, and Krishna will become our cowherd boy, this kind of consciousness should be there. I belong to him. This is what Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Singhu, and that this is the crown, the highest pinnacle of consciousness. When you develop the consciousness, this is the highest evolution of the consciousness, this very strong sense that I belong to God and God belongs to me, that we are inseparable. So this is first thing, Adhyatma Chetasa, that I already belong to him. And because I belong to him, I have to do whatever he likes. But this consciousness cannot be developed immediately. This is not an easy thing. As I said, surrender is not an easy thing. Surrender means you surrender your ego. Surrender means that your ego, which is independent of the Lord, which is rebellious, which is kind of greatest obstacle on your spiritual path, will always try to make troubles to you. And your ego will always say, so this Adhyatma Chetasa, even if theoretically you understood this, Krishna says, you give me all the fruits of your action, surrender all what you do to me because you belong to me, with full understanding that you already belong to me. But then he explains what it means again. Because, as I said, the ego will protest. And ego has two features. Our ego, our ahankar, false ego, or false identity, has two most important features, that is me and mine. I. This I-ness, me meaning I am independent. Me means that I am the doer. Basically, the first, the most important part of our ego, I am the doer. Everything depends on me. And the second part of our ego, mine, because I am the doer, I do. And then it means that I do something and the fruits of my action belong to me. And I have to enjoy. This is two features or two important aspects of our ego, of our independent or false existence. So therefore Krishna explains that how you do it, there are degrees of surrender or degrees of your spiritual consciousness. Surrender is a process, and it's a long process. It's a demanding process. And therefore Krishna explains really what it means. He says, more or less deciphers this meaning, what Adhyatma Chetasa means. He says, Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva. By becoming, you have to do it by becoming Nirashir and Nirmamo. Nirashir, this is, again, this pertains to this, or relates to these two aspects of our false ego. One aspect is I. And I means I am independent. And independent means what? If I am independent, it means what? When you become a teenager and you try to declare your independence from your parents, what is the main feature of this independence? I'm independent means I have what? Independent desires, right? Who you are to tell me what I should do? You know, who the hell you are? Get lost. I know better what I need. So, independence, our independence, or the feature, the main feature of our ego, is this independent, or sense of my independence, that I don't depend on anyone. And basically it means that I am independently desiring. I know better what I need. And therefore Krishna says, Nirashir. Nirashir means, Ash means desire. Ash means hope. So, if you want to surrender, the first thing which you have to surrender, the first thing which you have to give up, is this, which is very difficult again, is this feature within us, or this quality within us, that I desire independently. I know what I need. So, and this is what Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. The first thing from which you start to surrender is that it's not that I desire and I know what I need and I do what I need, but now there is somebody else whose desire I should fulfill. This is what surrender means. And a very important feature of this is that because Ash means desire and Ash means hope, basically this Nirashir means that you give up not only desires, which is very difficult to do, but you give up the hope to become happy independently. Because why people are so much stubborn? Why do they want to fulfill their desires? Because they think that in this way they will become what? Tell me. Why do we have desires? Yeah. To fulfill my desires is the way to become happy, right? We want to become happy. And I think that if I have these desires and if I fulfill these desires, then I become happy, right? Right? This is the only way to become happy, right? Is there any other way to become happy? No, there is no other way. This is what we think. No matter what, you know, so many times we tried, so many desires we had, and so many desires have been fulfilled. Did we become happy? No. We fulfill one desire, and immediately when one desire is fulfilled, we feel something is wrong still. I still have to come up with some other desire, and some other desire, and some other desire. This, and Krishna says this, by the way of your independent desires, this come. If karma is coming and coming and coming, you will never be able to satiate these desires. And because you will never be able to satiate, you will always be dissatisfied. So what Krishna is saying here, you should give up not the desires, you should give up the hope to become happy independently by this process of fulfilling your desires. We still have the hope. In Russian there is saying, I don't know if this saying is there in English, that the hope dies the last, you know. No, everything else is already dead, but you still have some hope. You know? So, and Krishna says, you kill this hope the first. What Krishna is saying here, we have this crazy hope, really crazy, really unreasonable hope, that I can become happy independently. Independently on Krishna, I can become happy just by fulfilling my crazy desires. Like these teenagers. Teenagers, you know, they have these hopes, you know, so many hopes. They say, yo, this all these, you know, old folks, they don't know, they don't understand anything about the life. But I know what the life is, and I will become happy. So Krishna says, it's stupid. My dear sir, you're foolish. So what he says, Nirashir, he says, again, he explains what surrender means. Surrender means you give up this hope, unreasonable hope, that you may become happy just by this process of desiring for yourself, just by this process of manufacturing or concocting your own desires. You know, you just create some desires and you think, oh, yeah, yeah, right, right. This is how the mind works. You create some image. some crazy image in your mind. The mind always produces some images, you know. And you think, oh yeah, right, this is what I need. Yeah, right. Krishna says, ridiculous, you know. Doesn't work. It does not work. So, and this is coming from this sense of false ego, from my false identity that I am independent. I am on my own. As I said, this Adhyatma Chetasa, spiritual consciousness, means I am not independent. I am not on my own. I belong to Krishna. And therefore I have to do what He tells me to do. But our false identity means I am independent. It means whatever I concoct, I have to become and see what happens. This is the tragedy of human life. They concoct something and they try to become, and they become this, and they say, oh, this is horrible. Why did I want to do this? Why did I want to become this? You know, so many people, they have dreams, and they sacrifice their lives for these dreams. You know, and Krishna says, this is ridiculous. And this is one big portion of our false ego. And the second portion of our false ego, which is based on this sense of I am the doer. I desire means I am the doer. I depend on myself. And the second part of it, offshoot of this false ego, is this sense of ownership. Mama, that belongs to me. You know, I am working, and I'm working hard and even harder, and I'm so intelligent, I'm so clever, or I'm so stupid, doesn't matter, it's me. So whatever I obtain by this process is mine. And Krishna says, nirashir nirmamo. Nirmamo means basically that we have this sense of ownership, no matter what it is, it's mine. And I have to enjoy how I enjoy this, by the process of showing it to others, this is what I did. This is what I obtained. This is my achievement. And this is very clear. You can see it when a little child is there. You know, this little child does something really stupid, you know. Makes some drawing. And usually it's a horrible drawing. You know. Look, it's me, I did this. And you're supposed to say, oh yeah, you're so nice. But in the same way, we're doing the same game. We're playing the same game throughout our whole life. You know, we're doing something. And then everyone has to admire, yes, we are right. You know, this is where the enjoyment is. The enjoyment is in the sense of ownership. We do something and we think, that's me who did it. And now everyone else has to really recognize how great we are. This is what our life is all about. Like if you cook, I know it myself, if I cook something, you know, what is cooking? You take what Krishna already did, you know, what is the big deal, you know? Can you make rice? Can you produce one grain of rice by your mystic power or something like this? No, it doesn't belong to you. Krishna did it. So, and butter, can you do something? Can you get the butter? So you cook this rice and put little butter, and then you expect that everyone will say, oh, you are such a nice cook. you just mix something which was actually done by Krishna, but then the sense of ownership, that's mine. I did it. You want whatever you did, you know, even if you didn't do it, you still want to claim that that's you. You know, this is very deep psychology within our heart. Whatever we do, we try to say, that's me. Look at me, how clever I am, how intelligent I am. Please notice me. You know, this is what it is there, what's going on within our heart. Or sometimes people, they give donations. And when they give donations, they give it, right? What do they want? They want to have a big plaque. I donated this. If you donated this, why do you have to do it? You gave it up. No, that's mine. It's still mine. You know, I have to put my name on whatever I do. This is a sense of ownership. This is my false ego. This is how false ego works. You know, you have to put it there. There is a nice story in Mahabharata about it. Very interesting story. There was one, four brothers. They were all kshatriyas, kings. And one of them, his name was Ashtaka. He was doing a huge sacrifice. Huge, really gigantic sacrifice. And he invited everyone. And he invited his three brothers. And this sacrifice was so big that even Narada Muni was present there. So he was very happy. And he had this, you know, sense of ownership or achievement. This is my sacrifice. I did it. Look. So he called his brothers. Because you're very much dependent in the opinion of others, especially those who are near and dear. This is what Arjuna says in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He says, you know, if I kill all my relatives, how I will enjoy? You know, I'm ready to fight, I'm ready to gain victory, but what is the use of victory if nobody will say they are Arjuna Kijai? I'm fighting and fighting and fighting. I'm ready to do this, but somebody has to recognize that I'm doing this. So, in the same way, this Ashtaka Maharaj is doing this big sacrifice, and he calls his near and dear ones, his brothers, who are also kings, kshatriyas, and he calls Narada Muni, and he asks Narada Muni a loaded question. Very important question. Because he wants to show off to this, all his brothers and everyone. He basically wants to get the recognition from Narada Muni, how great you are. What a great sacrifice you performed. So he asked a very deep question of Narada Muni. He says, Narada Muni, please tell me, you know everything. You know, we all go to heaven. I will go to heaven because of this sacrifice. My brother will also go to heaven. Who will stay there longer? Again, this matsarya, this envy, which is there in the heart of every living entity, you know, this envy and desire to be the first. This is false ego. So he says, please tell me who will stay, in other words, who is more pious? Who has more piety? Who among us four will stay longer? And Narada Muni looks at him and says, you will fall down first. And it's a big blow in his false ego. Yes, why? You know, don't you see how big I am, how great I am? I'm doing this big sacrifice. Yeah, Narada Muni says to him, I will tell you why. You remember once I came to your kingdom. He says, yes, I remember. You visited my kingdom before. And then during this, you wanted to show me your kingdom. Yes, he said, I remember. I was showing you my kingdom. And you took me on the chariot. He says, yes, I remember. We went to the excursion on the chariot. And we were traveling and you were showing me, this is my land and this is my this and this is my palace and this is that temple which I built. And then we were traveling and we saw big herds of cows. You remember? He says, yes, I remember this. And I asked you, what is this cows? You remember what you told me? And this Ashtaka remembered what he told. Yes, he said, yes, I remember. I told, this is cows. This is my cows, which I donated to the Brahmins. He said, because you said this, you will fall down first. Because this is a completely material consciousness. You donated the cows. But what you say, instead of saying, this is the cows which belong to the Brahmanas, we say, this is my cows which I donated to these Brahmanas. And this is the consciousness which we all have. And he asked, then he was really humiliated. Then he asked, who will fall down the second? Among us four, because we have these four brothers. And Narada Muni said, the second will be Pratardhan. It was another king, his brother. And he said, why? What is the reason why he will fall down from heaven? And Narada Muni tells another story. It's also an interesting story. I don't know if I have time to tell all the stories, but it's also an interesting story. I will tell it. He said, the Pratardhan is a great king, but once he was traveling in a chariot, in his kingdom. And there was four horses in this chariot. And while he was traveling, one Brahmana came on the way. And the Brahmana stopped him. And because he was a Kshatriya, he was supposed to obey the Brahmana. And whatever Brahmana would ask, he was supposed to give. So the Brahmana stopped him and he said, immediately, I need one horse. Please give me one horse. And Pratardhan said, I'm really sorry. I have to hurry up. You know, I have to be there at a certain time. And I'm in a hurry. Can you wait? On the way back, I will give you one horse. He said, no, I cannot wait. So this Pratardhan gave him one horse. And he was traveling further. And then another Brahmana came. And another Brahmana said, I'm in a hurry. I have to get one horse. And he donated another horse. And then the third Brahmana came. And he gave another horse. And then the fourth Brahmana came. And that was really too much for Maharaja, who was in a hurry. So he started begging of this Brahmana, please, you know, please, you know, I need this one horse. Brahmana was insisting. And ultimately, you know, he had to give this second, the fourth horse. He gave all the horses and he's in a hurry. So he, somehow or other, he connected himself with the chariot. And he was running with this chariot behind him. And while running with this chariot, Narada Muni said, do you remember what you said when you were running with this horse, with this chariot behind you? You said, thanks God, there is no more horses to give out to the Brahmins. And that's why you will fall down the second. Because you gave. Again, you gave, but still you had this sense of ownership. It belongs to me. and then you gave it grudgingly. You didn't give it with the full understanding that it doesn't belong to you. And then there was another story with the third brother. The third brother, he was also doing sacrifice. That was an interesting story. And the aim, the goal of his sacrifice was to produce a Viman. He wanted to really show how great he is. And he arranged a very special sacrifice, as a result of which he was supposed to get this airplane. So he get it. He made the sacrifice, and after Purnahuti, the Viman came down from the spiritual world, and he was very happy. And he was about to climb over the Viman and to fly over and to see. So at this very moment, Narada Muni came. And Narada Muni started praising the Viman. And he said, oh, such a nice Viman you have, such a nice aeroplane you have, and such a beautiful sight. And immediately, this third brother, he said, take this. It's yours. And he started it all over again. And again he made a sacrifice. And again he made this beautiful Viman. And again Narada Muni came. And again he said, oh, this one is even better. And again he gave it to him. It's yours. Take it. So for a short time he's doing it. And he's doing it and doing it. And again the Viman is there. And it's even more beautiful. And again Narada Muni comes. And he looks at him, and Narada Muni looks at him. And then this Maharaj says, please, don't tell that it's a good Viman. I know it's good. Please, don't make these hints. So because of this, you will fall down from the... In any case, the point of all these stories and of what Krishna says here is that he says that Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasan nirashir nirmamo butva. You have to really work with your false ego. You really, because surrender means, what surrender means? It means that you have to get rid of the false ego. You have to obtain certain consciousness when you don't have this false ego or ego of independent being, but you obtain the real ego, which is the ego of the servant. I belong to Krishna. Whatever I do already belongs to him. Like Prabhupada gives the example of the cashier. You know, cashier can count millions of dollars, but he never says it's mine. He always has very clear consciousness that it does not belong to me. We are like this, you know. We have to have this very clear understanding that whatever I get, it doesn't belong to me. It's just entrusted to me for some time. Even body doesn't belong to us. Body is not mine, it's Krishna's. You know, he gave it to us. He entrusted it to us for some time. So this consciousness, we have to work constantly on this by destroying the false ego. Because false ego will always like some kind of fortification. The way of material life is to fortify our false ego, to make it stronger. Like when we expect some praise. Why do we need praise? Because false ego requires it, you know. False ego will say, if nobody praises me, I will die. So what Krishna says here, just let it die. Let it die. We have to kill our false ego, because this is what surrender means. And false ego has these two features, nirashir nirmamo, or independent desire, I am the doer, and mama, this is mine, this belongs to me, the sense of ownership. And then he says, and then you fight, or you perform your spiritual duties. You perform your duties, whatever duties is there, you perform. You chant your holy name, you chant, your rounds, you do other duties which you are supposed to do. How vigata jvarava? And this is the last thing which I will tell before I finish this lecture. The last thing which, again, is very important for us to understand in our attempts to surrender to Krishna is this vigata jvara. Jvara means fever. And jvara means basically this feverish condition of our mind. That our mind is constantly in fever. When you are in fever, you cannot concentrate on anything. You know, there is some kind of... It's fever. Fever is there. It's very high temperature. Srila Prabhupada explains in Ishapanishad, in his purports to Ishapanishad, that the whole humanity has this fever. You know, I want more. You know, this kama, krodha, lobha. This is basically the condition of our mind. We're sick. What we have to recognize. And what Krishna says to Arjuna, he looks at Arjuna and says, you just give up this fever. You're a sick person. Basically what he tells him. He diagnoses him. He says, you have this fever inside. And this fever, this feverish condition of your mind is about these things. Kama, krodha and lobha. You know, the lust, anger, if you don't get what you want, and lobha, the greed, if you get what you want. Basically, you have kama, and from kama there is two offshoots. Anger, if you don't get, there is this energy which is supposed to destroy all the impediments towards your goal. And then there is this... greed, when you want more and more and more and more and more. So this is all fever, and when we have this fever, we cannot do anything. Why we cannot do properly our spiritual duties or perform our spiritual practices? Because of this feverish condition of our mind. Did you notice it when we chant, when we sit down and chant? What do you feel? Immediately feel, you know, I feel like, you know, running somewhere. Running where? I don't know, somewhere. Some people, they cannot sit and chant. They have to run. And this is all the condition of the mind. And because, you know, when you have fever, can you do something productive? No, you cannot do. You know, when you have fever, you're finished. So, this is what Krishna says. This is what you should do. Before you will be able to really fulfill the high ideal of Krishna consciousness, you have to give up this fever of kama, krodha, lobha, this feverish condition which is there within your mind. You have to really cool down. You have to really, you know, understand that this is the most important thing which you have to do. basically, Prabhupada explains that Yudhyasvavigatajvaraha means you fight. It means that you do what you're supposed to do. Do your duty. But how you do your duty without this... We sometimes do our duty. But what is the motive for us doing this duty? What is the impetus for us doing the duty? Again, kama, krodha, and lobha. You know, so he says, you do your duty. You fight, but without this fever. And when the fever is not there, it means that you are healthy again. Sometimes people, they are really attached to the lust, to anger, and to greed, because they cannot imagine how they can live without it. I once was preaching to one lady. She was a nice lady, and she was very receptive. She had some ideas, so she started chanting. And 1 week later, I met with her again, and I asked her, do you chant? She said, no. I asked her, why? She said, because I started chanting. And I was chanting and chanting, and I became so peaceful that I became afraid and I gave it up. Because people think that this is life. That the fever is life. The mistake which people have, that our sick, diseased condition is the real life. What Krishna is saying here is that you have to get rid of this disease of material fever which is there within your mind. And when you get rid of this disease of material fever, then you will be able to do what you are supposed to do. Yudhyasvavigatajvaraha. Then you will be able to really do your duties properly. And this way you will be endeavoring, you will be working. But you will be working without this fever, that this all belongs to me, that somehow I have to, you know, and without this anger, without all these emotions. The problem, our problem is that we are doing this. We are doing so many things. But by the way, we get so many unfavorable, undesirable emotions. If we would just do our duty in a very cool and peaceful mind, we would be very happy. But because we always have this fever and we're angry, you know, oh, somebody, you know, we have to fight and we have to really, you know, do something. Krishna here says, this is all ridiculous. You know what you're supposed to do. The very condition of your body tells you what you're supposed to do. If you're a grihastha, you have to fulfill your duties as a grihastha. If you're a woman, you have to be woman. If you're a man, you have to be man. Do what you're supposed to do, but without this fever, without all these strange emotions, without all these attachments. Do it because you're supposed to do it, because this is your duty, because this is my desire. Don't claim the proprietorship. Don't have this hope that I will become independently happy when I get my lucky lottery ticket. And all of a sudden I get 1 million rands. Then I will become really happy. No, you will not become happy. You will become miserable. So that's what Krishna says. And this is how he explains what surrender means. Again, he says, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma cheta saha. Whatever you do, do it for me. With full, complete spiritual consciousness, understanding that you are part of me. Eternally. That you will never be able to change this condition or situation. And then... While doing this, you should gradually get rid of these hopes for independent happiness, the hopes for mama, for this proprietorship, claims for proprietorship. And then you just fight by getting rid of this fever of material existence, disease of material existence. And this is the meaning of this verse, and Srila Prabhupada explains that this is basically, this verse indicates the very purpose of Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna will tell at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Vraja, he will mean this. What it means? Do it for me. And he is very bold about it again. And only... And sometimes people say that this is not humble from the part of Krishna to say this. But Krishna is really humble. He's saying this to Arjuna. You do everything for me. But then, few minutes later, Arjuna will tell him, you go there. And Krishna will say, yes, yes, sir, I will do whatever you tell me. Because he knows the reality. And the reality is that we do belong to him. And we have to really have this very clear consciousness of us always belonging to him, us being his eternal servants. And this consciousness means surrender, and that's what he wants from us. Thank you. Is there any questions? Well, we cannot. Usually we cannot diagnose ourselves. We can, to a certain extent, when we read the scriptures. In this way, we will develop some intelligence which is beyond our own intelligence. The starting point of our diagnosis has to be the scriptures. This is the standard point of view. And we have to really compare ourselves with what Krishna says here. But because we have this deception mechanism within ourselves, it's very difficult. And this deception mechanism will always say, you know, that you're great and everyone else is just, you know, it's just low class. When Krishna says devotee, it's me. When Krishna says demon, it's her. Or him. All of them. So, when Krishna says false ego, it's about whom? It's about everyone else. But when Krishna says, you know, that's how we read the scriptures. When something is good is written in the scriptures, it's about me. When something is bad is written, oh yeah, I know about whom it is. So many examples are in front of my eyes. I know perfectly well. So it's difficult because of this deceptive mentality which we have, because of this conceit inside our heart, to diagnose ourselves. Therefore we need spiritual master. It is spiritual master who has to tell us, something is wrong with you, my dear sir. And you will be very surprised when you hear this. At this moment, you will think, maybe I have chosen the wrong spiritual master. Because he doesn't recognize my greatness. So, but Krishna himself says this to Arjuna. He says, my dear sir, you are sick. You have a problem. And you have to give it up. And we will tell, no, no, I'm not sick. No, no, there is nothing I have to give up. No, no, that's mine. If it's mine, how can you give it up? You know, it's my disease. Therefore, it's a special disease. It's my karma. It's a very special karma. It's a very nice karma. Everyone else's karma is very bad. My karma is good. And my anger is also good, because it's a special anger. My greed, oh, that's a very, very special quality of mine. This is all enemies within our heart, but we mistaken them and we think they are friends. So, it's very difficult. Yes?
Is there a real ego?
Oh yeah, there is. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamaloyar Dasa 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 Anudasa. This is the real ego. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pronounces this verse, Naham Vipro, Naham Narapatir, Navaisya Chana Sudro, he says, I am nothing of this world. This is all false. ultimately. This is just the roles which we play. Basically, false ego means role. You imagine some role, and you're trying to play this role, and you're trying to enjoy this role, and you're trying to show off. You know, do they notice how nicely I play my role? This is me. And some, you know, some people, I was in Durban in for Ratayatra, and somebody took me to this Ushaka, this aquarium. You can see it very clearly that there are living entities who are playing different roles. Basically, human beings are the same, but it's more clearly visible in the example of fishes. You know, there are some fishes that, you know, they're so nice, you know, they're just, you know, they're yellow and they're innocent and they're, you know, you know, very nice, you know. And then there are some sharks and, you know, huge skates and, you know, deadly creatures. But it's all roles. And the same role you can see very clearly in the human society. Sometimes we play a role of a good people. I'm a good person. I'm a good father. I'm a good this and this. And this is basically the role which Arjuna wanted to play. Arjuna said, oh, I'm so nice. I'm so good. Yeah, yeah, I'm so good. I cannot kill these people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Krishna sees through. This is ridiculous. This is a role. And Arjuna says, I'm ready to die to maintain this role. And Krishna says, this is stupid. He doesn't accept this. So the false ego means different roles which we play. Sometimes it's a role of a criminal, and sometimes it's a role of a you know, very pious person. But it's all false because it has no relationship with Krishna. It has no relationship with God. We want to enjoy this role ourselves and the fruits of this role. Those who are criminals want to enjoy in a very gross way. Those who are so-called pious people want to enjoy their piety in a more subtle way. Yeah, but the underlying principle is the same. I want to enjoy, and that's false. Because I'm not on my own, and nothing belongs to me. Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita that if you're trying to enjoy yourself, you're a thief. Stena eva. And thief can never be happy. So the real ego means Gopi Bharta Pada Kamalaya Dasa 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 Anudasa. There is Gopi Bharta, the lord of the gopis. Bharta means the husband of the gopis. Bharta means the protector of the gopis. And this is very high ideal. And I'm, you know, Dasa 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 Anudasa. I'm serving the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants who serve the gopis, who serve this gopi martyr. And this is real ego. This is what we're supposed to obtain through the process of chanting. When we chant, when we chant through our mind, it's still false chanting, it's offensive chanting. But when we chant from within the heart, in this consciousness, I am eternal servant of Krishna, and nothing can change this position of mine. And when we chant in this consciousness that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, this is our real ego. This is how we can find, discover our real ego through this process of chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Basically, we need to know who is Krishna and who is Ram and who is Hare. And in this way, we will find our real ego in relationship with Krishna and Ram. And Hara, Mother Hara. There is no question, then I have to thank you for your attention. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Gornita ki. Sankhya Tattva ki. Gaurav Premanande.